Most of you know me. I'm Nathan. If you don't know me, I'm Nathan. That's my picture, and my lovely wife of 37 years is right down here. So hi, Joanna. I'm glad to be here today, and happy New Year. It is week number one. Last week was week 52. I think I said that last week. It's week 52. This is week number one. So welcome to week number one. So you should have received, when you came in, a bulletin. So I'm just going to kind of remind you what I'm going to use today. Bulletin has the notes on the front, and I didn't leave blanks, so blank people, sorry, no blanks. I know that's maybe a challenge. And then inside the bulletin, or you should have picked up what I'm calling a red card for the last 25 years. So there's a red card that if you didn't get one and you want one, you can raise your hand while I'm talking, and Steve's going to hand them out. So this is something that I'd like you to have, and if you don't get one, you can get it on your way out. And then I would love your attention for the next 25 or 30 minutes. And then besides that, engagement and attention, I would love your willing and eager heart to serve the Lord and to obey the Lord with whatever he tells you today. So I would love that. I like the way here at MBC that we have multiple people giving the Word of God on Sundays and at different times and have different people involved, because by doing that, we actually get other personalities and other passions and interests and other ways of following the Lord. And so it's, over the years for me, it's been great to be able to speak or to see other people speak. And then, of course, our main pastor, Mike, is in Minnesota today. So God bless you, Mike, if you're watching. But it's really nice to have different personalities. So this morning, like usually when I speak, you're going to get some of my own life and my own passion and some about my family, maybe. You're going to hear about Community Presence, the ministry that I'm in charge of, actually, pastor of Community Presence. You're going to hear a little bit about the Community Presence work, and then you're going to hear a little bit about the Community Presence and MBC main, everyone else working together, because there's multiple ministries, right? There's a youth ministry, there's a music ministry, there's a ushering ministry, there's lots of ministries, and so it's good to be part of one of those if you're not. So I'm in my 34th year at this church. Came here in 1991 with my lovely wife there, and our daughter, Corinne, was 6 months old. We moved into the house on the parking lot back there, and that's where we lived for 19 years. And so we were the youth pastor here for 23 straight years, transitioned out of that into Community Presence. So for 11 years now, been Community Presence pastor and engaging this church and other churches in loving and serving the community. So that's a little flyby of myself. Community Presence, Gary caught my attention last week when he said, hey, there's actually a Ditch Your Goals Day in the year. That there's actually, what day is it? So early in the year, there's a you're not going to accomplish your goals day, and then people like go, woohoo, all right. Well, it made me squirm because I'm a goal setter. I've been a goal setter my whole life. I'm a visionary. So I actually think up stuff that could actually happen when people don't know about it, can't think about it, don't see it. And I go, hey, that's a good idea to myself. And then I go, some of those I never even mention. But then other ones, I go, I'm going to write that down, and I'm going to actually look at that, focus on that, and I might tell that to somebody. And then if I get the courage, I'll go, you know what, I'm going to tell my wife, see what she thinks. Thanks for listening to me all these years, because I'm a crazy visionary person. But there's a ton of research now that says if you have an idea and you actually think about it, plan it out, and then write it down, you're 80 or 90% likely to accomplish it. If you share it with somebody else, then you're actually getting towards 100%. There's things that can take it out. But so that's from me, you know, hey, think of it. Make sure it's contextual and it's something you can do and it's reasonable and stuff. There's rules for that. Write it down. Share it with somebody. And then if you really want to do it, tell a bunch of people like this. Say, hey, I want to meet with my wife once a week for coffee this year and just talk and talk about life and stuff. Right? Tell your goal to some people and say, will you hold me accountable to that? And then you're way more likely. All right. So anyway, I actually wrote down a whole bunch of stuff for community presence, 2 pages. Showed it to the church leaders. They thought about it. They said, good idea. So it's a 3-year plan. And it's out on the table if you really care about goals and dreams and plans like that. But anyway, goal setting. So we have been talking about the names of Jesus for a few weeks. Actually, week 52, we talked about Jesus the King. Gary presented that to us and talked about the righteous, rightful, and reigning King, the birth of Jesus. Before that, week 51, we talked about the names of Jesus, Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And you know, as a kid, I came to church and I was like, hey, we're doing Christmas and we're talking about the birth of Jesus and it's all about that. And then not long later, a few months later, we're talking about Jesus dying. Like April 12th is Palm Sunday. And then we're all of a sudden talking about 30-some years of Jesus' life. And then, hey, what happened all that time? A lot went on, and years happened. And now Jesus is dying. So I brought my little manger today from our house, and that's what we just celebrated. And then a few months from now, we're going to have imagined, and we've studied this, so many things that Jesus did his whole life. And now he's going to die for us on the cross. So that's, I find, fascinating. So I want to take a little bit of the life of Jesus today. Another name in the Bible for Jesus is Rabbi. Rabbi. He was called Rabbi. He was a rabbi. He was, by his own statement, a rabbi, and he was, by the leaders of the day, a rabbi. And back then, in the New Testament times, Jesus, I wish I had time, you know, another couple hours, but Jesus entered the earth and came into the earth, into the Middle East, into Jerusalem. It was predicted thousands of years ahead of time. And so he landed in the Jewish community under the Roman rule with a bunch of stuff at play. Almost like somebody born in the United States today, they're inheriting democracy and they're inheriting all kinds of stuff. They're not going to change all that. They just landed there, right? This is how the U.S. is for the last, you know, while. So Jesus lands in that community, and there was a rabbinical order. There was a religious order in that day where you didn't just arrive at being a rabbi. There was a whole long process of that, years of that. You had to memorize the Bible by the time you were 12, the Torah. Then you had to be tested, and you had to go through all this stuff. And then once you were deemed to be rabbi material, you had to be vouched by 2 other rabbis. And if you weren't rabbi material, you were told, hey, thanks for trying. Go home and do your family business, because everyone had a family business back then. There was agricultural society. They did a lot of things. So thanks for trying, kind of, and go do your family business, have children, and maybe one of them will become a rabbi. That's kind of how it was. So rabbis were a big deal. And one thing that community presence is going to be part of this year that you're going to hear about is just pitching this disciple-making thing. We're here to make disciples. We're here to be a disciple. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ and of some other people that have poured into my life that I would call my disciplers. And then I have disciples that are following me as I'm following Jesus. And so that's a thing that we inherited as believers, and that's very biblical. So I want to read a paragraph of a document that Pastor Mike wrote, because I've been bugging him about, let's write something down about discipleship so people can read it, and that we can actually go, here's some nuts and bolts to this. If you want them, you should want them. So there's a 4-page document out on the CP table today, if you'd like it. I'm not asking you to run out there and get it, but I'm going to read off of that a brief paragraph about the rabbinical order and about the rabbi. So the word disciple, the Greek word mathetes, is used about 261 times in the New Testament to describe those who follow Jesus. In the Jewish system, the concept of being a disciple to a rabbi went way beyond just learning and knowledge. The Hebrew word for disciple is talmid. Talmid means student. The plural of talmid is talmidim, students. The disciples of the first century Judaism learned everything from their rabbi, from their teacher. They learned to be just like their teacher. They learned the stories the teacher told. They learned lessons their teacher taught. They learned the foods their teacher ate. They learned the way their teacher ate them. They learned to keep the Sabbath the way their teacher kept the Sabbath, to give love the way the teacher gave love. They learned to pray the way their teacher prayed. They learned to fast the way their teacher fasted. They learned how to keep God's commands the way the teacher kept them. The disciples followed their rabbi or teacher everywhere he went. The teacher taught his disciples everything he could. It was a way of complete life, and apprenticeship is actually our good English word for understanding this. The disciples were taught the process they had undertaken by following Jesus. So you have a rabbi, and you have a group of followers of that rabbi, like almost like a little group, and they're doing everything the rabbi does. They're going everywhere the rabbi goes. And it was kind of a dusty day then, right? There was a statement back then that said, because it's a good statement, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. What does that mean? That you're so close and with the rabbi, you're going everywhere the rabbi goes, you're doing everything the rabbi does, and you're actually covered with dust from that kind of a life, because the rabbi is going around helping people and doing things rabbis did. So we come to our passage today, and the rabbi's there, and the rabbi's dusty, and the followers of the rabbi, the disciples, they're dusty, and not in the text that Dustin read, but there was a servant who washed the feet of people that were guests, and something happened to that servant that day. There was no wash the feet servant. And so I'm sure there was a little bit of angst, but then all of a sudden, Jesus gets up and he takes the position. He takes off his, you know, better clothes, grabs a towel and a wash basin, and he starts to do one of the lowest jobs of servant that day. And I'm sure the disciples were like, oh no, awkward, okay? Almost like me saying, hey, you know what, guys? No one cleaned the bathroom today, and I don't want any of our guests to see the men's bathroom like this. And I'll be right back. I'm going to go wash the men's bathroom. Kind of like that. Like, why would Nathan be doing that? Why would he be doing it now? He has other things to do. Kind of like that. So Jesus picks up a towel, he washes their feet, and then he makes those statements that we heard Dustin read in John 13. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on the clothes and returned. He put on his clothes and returned back to his place. Do you understand what I have done? He asked. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that's what I am. Now I am your Lord and your teacher. I have washed your feet. You also should wash one another's feet. I have set an example for you that you should do as I have done. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, or a messenger greater than the one who sent him. And here's the phrase I'm just going to steal out of the text today. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. So everything Jesus did, we could say that. Taught you this, taught you that. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. Because you know what? we have been given the gift of choice. And man, the Lord could want a lot of things for us, but unless we actually go, I'm going to do that, I'm going to obey that, I'm on board with that, it could just be there and not happen. That's up to us. So we have the beautiful gift of choice that God's given us. So we need to actually choose to follow Jesus. All right, so I'm going to rip through 3 points right now. Number one, you matter. Number two, you are a disciple and disciple maker. This is in your bulletin right on the front. And then, you good? You good? So number one, you matter. Most of the time I speak, I like to at least take 1 or 2 minutes on, hey people, you actually matter. You matter so much that God thought about you, made you, and put you exactly where he wanted you and gave you the gifts he wanted you to have and then set you forth to be a kingdom person with him. So I'm going to do that. In this year, in this day, in this month, in this week, you matter. You matter so much. God needs you to obey him to accomplish what he wants to do. The God at work stories. I love that. I had a really stunning Costco God at work story this week. I did. And I said, when you said that, I'm like, hey, me too. But I'm not telling you that right now. So the top number is the number of estimated stars in the universe. It's a big number. 2 × 10²⁴, huge. The second number is how many people have ever lived from all time, 110 billion. And the Bible says he knows every star by name. He calls them by name. There's a lot of stars. There's a lot less people. And he particularly picked you. He knows your name. He knows all about you. And actually, in Psalm 139, it says he knit you together. He zipped you together like a zipper, your mom and dad's DNA, precisely the way he wanted you. And he put you, according to Acts, in a zip code, I call it, right where he wanted you. He chose the times and the places for people to live. So he made your DNA. He got the people together for that. He put you in a particular place. And John 10:10 says to us, Jesus said, I have come that you may have a full, meaningful, blessed life. So if I made something and I had spent time with it, I want it to be successful. I want it to be productive. So because God made you, he's voting for you. He's pulling for you. He's giving you everything you need to succeed and to thrive. So not only did he make you, and he put you exactly where he wanted you, but he's cheering for you. He's for you. And then thirdly, he loves you. Like, wow. There's times where I just take a chance and say to Joanne, do you love me? You know, because I'm harsh a lot of times. Or I do things that maybe don't deserve love. And so God loves you. More than that, I'm not going to take time to read these. These are stunning verses, how God made you, how he wants to sustain you and for you to succeed, and then he loves you. So he died for you, he came, he was born, and he died for you. In case you think you don't matter, and in case you think you're not all that and that you're no good, think again. He died for you. So, you matter. So I have in my pocket a roll of dental floss, and I have a big giant rope right here that Jill Wilkie's coming down the aisle to pull back. It's 55 feet long, and she's going to pull it all the way to back. I didn't want somebody to trip on it earlier. So this is dental floss right here, about a foot, maybe a little longer. By the way, Jill and Jean Gatch, the two of them are going to be at the prayer table today. There's a prayer table out here. That's good. Stop. We have a prayer table, so if you need prayer for anything or if you know somebody that needs prayer, 9:30 or 10:30-ish every Sunday, we're going to have somebody at the prayer table to pray. So if that's you today, you need prayer, or if you want to invite somebody just for that, tell them to come at 9:30 though, but you know, there's prayer at 10:30. So dental floss, big giant pull a boat over rope. The Bible calls us Christians three times. Three times. The Bible calls us disciples 261 times. And all my life, this kind of chokes me up, I've been seeing myself as a Christian and a Christ-like, a Christian, that's the term that's used. It's this and that out there. But the term that Jesus used was disciple, follower, apprenticed, do life like me, 261. Not even close. Like 1 foot, 55 feet, three times longer, right? Thick. We're disciples, you guys. I mean, I don't want to go into the content of what makes Christian Christian and how come we're called that and why all the books and everything call us that. But I do want to say, are you on board with being a disciple? That's what the Bible says. And not only that, you are a disciple. You are a disciple maker. It's implicit in being a disciple is that you make disciples. So it's both. So a few nuts and bolts. I'm a nuts and bolts person. Documentation. So there's what I would call, since I'm just going to say this, since you're a disciple, you would have a discipler, Jesus himself as our example, and then some other people that are showing you the way from earlier in your life or now and forward, right? And then you have people that you're discipling. So since you're that, there's something called discipling opportunity. Every single day, you run into people, you run into circumstances where you are a discipler and you're having an opportunity to shed light on Christ and to push the kingdom forward every single day. We might not call it that, but you have it every single, almost every day, unless you stay inside and watch TV all day. Some days maybe not, but most days you do. And then there's something else called a discipling relationship. Someone that you say, hey, let's meet every week, let's meet every month, let's meet every quarter, blah, 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 let's eat together and let's talk about the Bible or let's pray together. There's discipling relationships that we might be afraid to call that, honestly, because we're afraid to say who's discipling who. Or, hey, I have something I want you to try, or please, let's obey the Lord in this. We're kind of afraid to do that, I think. So there's discipling opportunities and there's discipling relationships. Yeah? And then another thing, I'm just giving you nuts and bolts now. There's things we do that we say are spiritual. This is discipling. And there's things we do that we say aren't spiritual that we go, that's not discipling. So like if I said, hey, I'm going to show you how to clean something or how to build something or how to sew something or how to play something, people might say, well, that's not discipling somebody. They might say that's a task. Look at the life of Jesus. He did a lot of stuff. He did a lot of those things. And that he was discipling his disciples when he did that. So, a few more nuts and bolts. So, discipling opportunity, discipling relationship, tasks, and spiritual things. Of course, there's spiritual things. course, but there's a lot more than that. I wrote down some things that often get, that we need in church especially. Like, if we want this church to be here in 20 years, we should probably care about the task things, not just the spiritual things. Who's going to give announcements in 20 years? Who's going to play the guitar in 20 years? Who's going to, I can name off 100 things. You guys got 20 more years. Because they're going, huh? So cleaning, assembling, making, baking, sewing, building, creating, performing, practicing, planning, leading, teaching. There's lots of things that we would say are tasks. But those are discipling opportunities and relationships that are actually very, very needed and powerful. So if I have a disciple or if I'm being discipled, do I need a book? Do I need a bunch of curriculum? Do I need, what do I need? So this is my summary from lots of years of thinking. It's not a book. This is taking lots of books and going, here's some more nuts and bolts. So discipling somebody or being discipled, we do a lot of eating and activities, meaningful activities. Those are discipling. Those can be embedded with spiritual things that help us be closer to Jesus. So fellowship or meaningful time together. Service, meeting needs at NBC, meeting needs in the community. Those are discipling opportunities, and discipling relationships can be all part of that. And then learning and growing. So this is prayer, study of scripture, processing life, and its circumstances. How many times have we just gotten together with somebody that we need help from and just go like, what do I do? This happened to me. What would the Lord do? What would the Lord say? How would I go about this? This happens to us all the time. Wouldn't it be great to have a regular person that you sat down with and goes like, hey, Dave, I need help figuring this out, man. Can you help me? What about just a meaningful relationship that you have with somebody on a regular basis to help you sort through life? This is the idea of discipleship. It's actually a thing. So I find it interesting that a lot of times, whether it's a challenge or a good thing, the range of that, you can say to somebody like, you just won the prize on a raffle. How are you? Are you good? The best thing you can think of, that was kind of cheesy. But, or the worst thing, we kind of ask each other, are you good? Are you good? Whether it's good or a challenge. So for us, for me today, I want to ask you, are you good? And good meaning there's big things in our faith that we want to make sure we're doing and being. And that number one is loving God and loving others. We know this. We've studied this. This is Matthew 22, 36 to 40. Second thing, great commission. So great commandment, love God and love others. Great commission, you, all y'all, as you're going through life, it's not a destination, not go over there and make disciples. It's as you're going, as life is happening, as you're doing life, make disciples. Be a disciple, make a disciple. The Great Commission, that's all of us. And then obey God and serve others. I'm not trusting this clock down here. Okay, I'm out of time. So, last couple things. You have that red card in your hand or in the bulletin today. I'd love you to do this just for me, if that's what you would do it for. I'd love you to do it for you, because you want to identify who's following you and who's you're helping make a disciple. I'd love you to do it for NBC. Whatever other thing I could come up with, I'd love to be able to ask you, hey, who's on your red card? Who's your discipler? Who are you discipling? Who's on your red card? I'd love to ask you that. In fact, when I was a youth pastor for a lot of years, I had this, and I actually knew most of the kids' card on this. It was just helpful to me, because I wasn't their discipler all the time. I just wanted to know who their person was. And if they didn't have one, I need somebody. So I'm going to kind of throw some names up here today without talking about it too much to give you some practical ideas. So one of my kingpin disciplers my whole life, well, the last 37 years, Joanna Zug. She's been a model spokesperson for the kingdom, like all kinds of stuff. And then I've also discipled her. There's been times where like, what do we do? What does the Bible say about this? Like, it's both ways. My children aren't there, but they are my disciples. I put down two names of people that have recently come into my life that I'm going to call, they're downline from me. I'm discipling them on purpose with a relationship. There's people ahead of me that I would list. There's too many for this card, but I have five or six that I would say they're my disciplers. So just nuts and bolts. We could change the world with this, really. Maybe Jesus did that. Last thing, and then the band's going to come up and close out with a song. So you might say to me, or people, it was asked them, hey, are you discipling Nathan? Are you kidding me? Do you know that he, and he broke this, he did that, got kicked out of school, like stuff. I had to go to the fire department one time. My dad was a firefighter as a trade. I had to go to the fire department in my city and be lectured by the fire chief because of something I did at school. I got suspended and I had to go to the fire department with my dad, who was a firefighter. So anyway, I was on people's so-called red card a lot, right? And they could be asked, what are you, like that guy's an idiot. That Nathan guy. I've been asked that. Are you discipling them? Why are you doing that? Didn't you know that? So I thought about that this week. Like, what if I am asked that? Hey, I'm on this person's card, and I'm... And I thought, you know what? Jesus. He was coming down from God, and he went, I'm going to pick 12 people. One of them, we could say stuff, right? He picked Judas. Judas failed. Judas wrecked up stuff. Peter, talk about all of them. Like, these are really your disciples? These guys were rejected. They didn't make the rabbinical order. They got told, go home and be a fisherman. Well, they failed. But Jesus said, no, you, follow me, follow me, follow me. You're good enough for me. All your brokenness, everything about you, I want that. I'm going to make you new and whole. And I'm going to change the world with you. So you know what? I want to say that I've heard for decades, I can't disciple anybody. I'm not that good. I don't know enough. Blah, blah, blah. You're good enough. You matter. God loves you. He died for you. So I'm going to close with this song. If you'd like somebody to pray with you, the prayer table will be out there. While we're singing, if you really want prayer now, there will be people to pray with you. So if you're not a disciple, Jesus wants you to be. He wants you to choose to accept him and be his follower for your life. And believe me, it's a lot to ask, and it's a lot to give up for you if you give your life to Christ. But it's the best thing you could ever do, I believe. And then if you're a Christian and not a discipler, or you don't have disciples, or you go, that's not me, that's the pastors, it's you. I want to help you personally. CP wants to help you, Community Presence. NBC wants to help you. We're all disciple makers. We're all on board with this. And if you just need prayer for whatever reason, we're here for you and we love you. We're going to close with a song. All right, we love you. If there's anything we can do to help you or just walk with Jesus with you, a lot of us are here for you, with you. Yeah? All right, let's pray. Father God, we bow before you today just pondering over, for me, 261 times the word disciple is there, and the whole way you set up, follow me as I follow others. For you, it was you were God, but for us, it's I'm following Jesus, follow me as I do that. So Lord, I'm asking you, we're asking, help us to make disciples. Give us God's stories, because that's what you're going to give us, is opportunities to meet people, opportunities to share the way you lived with people, and then relationships that are ongoing that we can just do life together but become closer to you. So I'm asking that you do a lot of that in us and through us. May your kingdom come and your will be done in and through us today, this week, at this place and in our neighborhoods, wherever we're going. Bless each and every person here. Bless each and every person that's part of us watching or listening today or just in the mix somehow. We love you, Lord, in your holy, holy name. Amen.